welcome to another amazing Holy Ghost Spirit-led infused episode of the Faith, Fire, and Flow podcast show, the show which brings you all of the most incredible entrepreneurs, creators, leaders, and those who are just saying yes to what life is meant to be about, the way it's meant to be, and who are here to share with you their wisdom, tools, techniques, tips, and just straight up, what even is that, spirit-led downloads that are going to help you in your business, in your money, in your life. Let's go. Buckle up. It's happening.
And we're jumping into our Bible study. I forgot to put Bible study in the title. All right, I guess you'll figure it out. And Karen, hello. Steph, hello. All right. Larissa's here instead of here. Cool. Mandy, hello. Okay, so as usual, I'm just going to say hi here. And then I'm going to do my thing here. And we'll see where we go. We're going to pray right away. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you that when we intentionally and sometimes accidentally on the fly, but in particular when we intentionally just take that time and space to hear from you, that you do always show up. And it's not because you somehow show up and you weren't there before, but it's because we're simply looking to what already is in you. And so, Lord, we just thank you for whatever it might be that you want to reveal to us here this evening, individually, collectively. We just thank you for your word, which reveals and reveals and reveals, and there's always something new to learn and see, even in a scripture that we might have read many times over. Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your guidance and comfort by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just ask that you put your words in my mouth this evening. Let this study tonight be entirely of you. Lead me in what you would have me say. Bring through those additional things that I didn't even have in my notes or anywhere in my mind. And yeah, just deliver directly what each person here needs this evening, Lord. And we just ask all of this in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that anything that is not relevant tonight, it just falls to the ground. And yeah, and that we just get to soak in your word, soak in your presence, and soak in the comfort. I just really feel comfort. I really feel this word comfort tonight. So Lord, we just thank you for your comfort. We thank you for your rejuvenation through your teaching, through your word, and through the fact that you are our God. And we just pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So we're going to focus, firstly, I was going to say dominantly, and then I checked myself because I know that anytime I think something's going to go a certain way, it doesn't. But we're going to focus initially at least on Hebrews chapter 4. So everyone here is already prepared for that. You can turn yourself to Hebrews chapter 4 if you like. Now, I'm actually going to read this entire chapter. The study tonight is, it's really centered around the chapter of Hebrews 4. Oftentimes when I teach a Bible study, God's just led me on, you know, like a theme or a topic, and then there's a collection of different verses or parts of the Bible that might come into that. But we did a study a few months ago, which was just entirely on Psalm 25, I think, and it was so good. There was just so much to unpack in the layers and the richness. And I love when God just kind of like plonks down a complete answer within one section. And I think sometimes we have the mentality, or I know I sometimes have the mentality, that I need to figure out, like I need to go on like a Nancy Drew quest, like a mission, like a hero's journey to find the answer on a particular thing. And almost as though it's like, if I'm, you know, good enough, or I'm like explorative enough, or I invest enough effort or time, then I'm going to uncover the mysteries that God has for me. And it's just such a human mindset, isn't it? Because it's straight away going into like works and our own mind and our own so-called capabilities instead of God's grace, which obviously is firstly at the point of salvation, but then everything that we do in God is through grace, isn't it? Because grace is the supernatural equipping of the Holy Spirit. And so I didn't directly pray this, but Lord, we just thank you for supernaturally illuminating your word this evening so that it's not a quest. Life in you is not a quest. Oh my gosh, can someone write that down? That's not in my notes, but I feel like it needs to be. Life in God is not a quest. But before I do read this chapter in its entirety, something that I did have in my few notes that I've got for you, which kind of speaks to what I just said, is that I felt that God was saying to me, relevant to something I was seeking him on personally, I felt he was saying, stop looking for an answer. The answer is me. Mm-hmm. And I'd really been racking, I don't know, like my brains, my heart, my soul, and trying to access God's truth in my spirit, which we know is not a thing, trying to access God's truth in my spirit. But that's kind of where I was at on a particular thing. And I was like, oh, like I just, like I know the answer is trust God, because that's always the answer, right? So like I hear God saying, just trust me. Will you just trust me? Will you just let go? And I kind of talked it out with someone close to me, and it was just like, oh, I can't like get it. You know, I'm like back and forth between, okay, but does that trust look like take these actions, or does it look like take no actions, or does it look like take some other actions that I don't know about? How's the trust look like? Can I just have the list, right? Yeah. Right. And I was just like, eventually I was like, you know what? I'm gonna have a little nap, because that's, I thought this brain is going crazy over here. And as I was getting ready to just lay down for a 20 minute nap, I felt that God was saying to me, stop looking for the answer. I am the answer. And so I went into that nap time, and oftentimes before I have a nap, I mean, this is just a smart idea, right? I'll just kind of like pray something or hand something over in that moment, and actually go into a nap time, and sometimes my sleep time at night, but frequently, or anytime I nap, I actually do this. I have an expectation that I'm going to hear something from God through that nap time or as I wake up. Now, one of the things that I was reading today, which was actually a Bible study, like a commentary that I was reading on Hebrews chapter 4, as I was kind of like looking into that chapter a bit further, I read something somewhere, I don't know where, that said something to the effect of, like those who expect more blessings and favor from God are going to receive it. And it was referencing, which is very relevant to this chapter of the Bible, the fact that because of their unbelief, the Israelites didn't come into the promised land, you know, for that 40-year period. And we've talked about that actually quite a bit some months ago here in this room. So I love that reminder before we even kind of get into the meat of what I'm going to talk about this evening and what God's put on my heart. The reminder is you can expect to hear from God, and really, well, we all should expect to hear from God. So I just feel like if I'm going to have a nap at any point through the day, I'm going to enjoy that nap. But also I just kind of created an expectation around naps that I always hear from God when I wake up out of a nap. And so I do. When I'm in that kind of blurry, just waking phase, I'll get a word. And today the word that I heard was declaration. I heard declaration or declare. And then I heard my word cuts through like a sword. And it was kind of like cuts through your problems or your concern or your big tangly mess of a thing that you can't figure out what to do with, you know? So I Googled like my word cuts through like a sword, which led me to Hebrews chapter 4, because it's where the verse about double-edged sword is. So I actually had a whole different topic prepared, or that I was thinking I was going to be talking about for Bible study. And then when I went and read that, and I dropped like all these just little notes and insights and additional thoughts came through, and I thought, yeah, no, I'm going to talk about this now, because that's what's really alive and what God's showing me right now. So I love how he just leads us. And I went and Googled to find, you know, scripture that like matched my word cuts through like a sword, and it led me to Hebrews chapter 4, which then the entirety of the chapter was basically like a punch in the face about the thing that I'd been wrestling with before I went into my nap, because I was in this back and forth about, well, I know the answer is trust, but does it mean like trust and sit back and wait, or does it mean trust and because I trust, I now take these inspired actions, right? So let's read Hebrews chapter 4. And in my Bible, which as always, or well, as usual, is the increasingly tattered New King James Version of the Women's Study Bible. In my Bible, they actually title this chapter, The Promise of Rest. They had the little segment headers in. So, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Now, this is, of course, talking about eternal rest, firstly. So not wanting to fall short of entering into eternal rest, as in salvation. But we'll go on. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest.
Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there's a lot in this, or this chapter dominantly, initially, and all throughout, is about eternal rest, salvation. But what I'm wanting to draw attention to today is about a life of resting in God, and just highlight a couple of things which really spoke to me and which I feel are really relevant for people who are here, people who tend to watch my stuff, and people who are here in this room as well. And in particular, I want to start with verse 2, where we see the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And I just feel like that's such a power punch, because it's one thing to hear the word, it's one thing to conceptually know the word, it's one thing even to have an encounter with the word, being Jesus and the Bible, Jesus in written form. It's another thing to have that mixed thoroughly with faith. And when you think about the Israelites who got stuck in the wilderness for 40 years, because of their unbelief, they didn't reach the promised land. And because of their complaining and murmuring, so they wander around for an entire generation. Those who went into the, you know, wilderness never ended up coming out of it. And this one just never fails to blow my mind because of their unbelief. Because I noticed that no matter how much I read, understand, get that, you know, impartation or that just certain yes in my spirit, that when something comes along in life that I feel like needs an immediate answer because it feels like real life circumstance, for example, then the default, which is the natural, obviously the carnal, is, okay, well, but what if God doesn't come through, essentially? And personally, I wouldn't articulate that thought because I feel like I don't think like that, right? Like I wouldn't be writing that down in my journal or going to someone else and being like, well, what do you think I should do if God doesn't come through? That's not coming out of my mouth. That's not going into my journal. That's not it. That's not going into my prayer time. Like, God, what if you don't come through? What I notice, I continually hand over to God. So my kind of area, like relevant to that, is more a mindset of God will come through for me if I mystically somehow, Nancy Drew, figure out what the exact combination of trust-based actions I should take. You know, if I do them right. I don't know if you guys have ever been to one of those like trust adventure things out in the bush, you know, like with a corporate day or like school or, you know, one of those things where you're up on the high ropes course and you've got to fall into, you know, I don't know, someone else's arms on your team who's going to catch you or whatever, right? The trust exercises. But with those sort of exercises, it's like, well, even though it is really scary, and I don't personally really like stuff like that, I would prefer to not have to do it, it's all very structured and safe. And there's also a system to follow. And you got to, you know what to do. So as long as you just listen carefully to the instructions, and then you climb up onto the thing and your harness is done properly and you do exactly what they say, you should be good. Like worst case scenario, you look a bit like a gangly fool, which is usually me, right? So I think sometimes, and yet it's still scary, right? Like it's still terrifying, even though you watch everyone go before you, or at least for me, I find it that way. Yeah. Sometimes when it comes to trusting in God and applying that to circumstances in our lives,
I just noticed that my mind is kind of looking for, but where's the exact instruction booklet here? Like, just tell me the exact thing to do and then I'll happily free fall. Like, I'll happily fall off the edge of the cliff. Just show me where to put the harness and where to put the thing and how many steps to go back before I do my run up. Yeah. And then I'm good to go. Yeah. And I just kept hearing God over and over again, just trust me. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, but I know, but how? And so after I read this, and I was still in that kind of like, when I get one of those words when I come out of a nap, and then I might go and read something that I'm just led to read, and then, you know, you're a bit blurry still and you kind of just lie there and you're thinking a little bit. And it suddenly hit me, and I wrote this one down. Trusting in God is getting to a place where you no longer want any answer or timing outside of what He has. You're actually done with the search. Like, I'm done, right? I'm done the search. Yeah, I got to that bit where I not only trust that God has a plan, a good plan, or that He's got it, you know, He's got it covered in this area. I not only trust that He will come through because He is God and He cares about me and He cares about His children and He cares about each of us as His children, but I actually walked over that line. It's getting to that place where you walk over the line where you're like, I realized I don't want anything other than what God has for me in this area. And I'm just done the search. And I only want what He would give me in whatever timing He happens to give it in. And I think to get to that point, which is kind of a big focus of our conversation today, to get to that point, what is it going to take for you? What is it going to take? So if you think of an area of your life that you're maybe struggling with, or you're going to God about a lot, or it feels really scary, or it feels really like time sensitive, pressing, confronting, whatever it might be, what is it going to take for you in that area to get to that point where your choice, I'm going to use the word choice, to trust in God completely, fully, finitely, is so complete that you no longer have any like inkling of a desire or interest or concern in a solution that could possibly come from outside of God, like your own will, your own way, someone else's suggestion of how things might go, etc. What is it going to take to walk over that line so completely where you're literally just, I'm done, like I'm done the search, I'm done looking here and there, looking to the left and the right, and I don't know where that scripture is, either in Psalms or Proverbs, where it says, don't look to the left or the right. You know, just keep your eyes fixed on God. But what is it going to come? What is it going to take to get to the point where you genuinely don't desire to look to the left or the right? It's like, I'm finished. I'm done. And I get that it's going to take whatever time frame it takes in God. And there might be mess or fallout or things that I don't know how to deal with or stuff that I thought needed to be sorted out by this point, but I'm so complete with trying to do it myself that I only want what God has for me, meaning that even if another really attractive solution, you know, or like seems like a good solution appeared, it would just be like, no. Like, it actually can't sway me. It can't pull me aside. And I think the answer to that is different for each person, obviously. But I know that, unfortunately, one of the common answers to that is that you just got tired out enough. Like, you butted your head against the wall enough. You reached an enough is enough point. Like, okay, after I've butted my head against that wall 17,000 times, it's bloodied and bruised enough to the point where I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you fully now. And this is really common. I've heard so many entrepreneurs, and I'm sure not just entrepreneurs, but I've personally heard so many entrepreneurs who've given it all over to God and gone through that whole kind of process of everything just going topsy-turvy and then, oh my gosh, what's even happening with money and business and so on. I've heard so many people tell me that there was a point where it felt like God was saying to them, are you done yet? And it's kind of like, all right, I'm done now, you know, kind of like a kid just running around doing their own thing. And the parents like, well, they're not going to kill themselves, so I'll let them like learn that lesson. And eventually they're going to come and listen to what I have to say. And I guess what I'm getting at is what can we do to not have to get to that point? You know, what can we do to choose that wholehearted trust in God in an area for each of us where we're just fighting and we're battling and we're going back and forth and we're trying to figure it out and we're reading the Bible and we're seeking and we're continually like, God, you know, your word says, call out to me and you'll show me great and mighty things. Like, tell them, what are they, right? And one of the scriptures I actually wrote down for today, which you can note down if you like, we won't go there, but Psalms 119 verse 18 says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in you. Now, I personally pray those sort of prayers a lot. Like, Lord, what have you got for me today? I'm calling out to you. This is me, Kat, calling out to you. Show me great and mighty things of which I do not know. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, if anyone wants to write that one down. And then I came across Psalms 119:18, very similar. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in you. Or open the eyes of my heart, Lord. These sort of prayers, I think, are really powerful prayers. And for me, they're prayers that I pray on the daily. However, I'll also say that when we take the scripture and we put it through the filter of our mind and our insecurities or our doubts or the stuff that we're looking for, or we feel like I need an answer, like I need this to happen now, when is this going to be sorted, and we're on the, like, we're on the prowl basically for whatever that area of our life is, like I'm looking for it all the time. So I might be continually like in the Bible and in prayer and in godly conversations, but there's an alertness and a vigilance there where it's kind of like, but I'm keeping my eyes open because I got to make sure I catch it when a solution comes through, right? Or when that person comes across, like I was doing this in the relationship area, like the whole time until I finally surrendered, gave it over. I was like, I'm done now. And I repented for looking. Then what happens? 2 days later, I meet the guy, right? If you didn't read that post on my grid, go and read it on my grid. Bailey, who's sitting right here, designed that post. I wrote the post. She does my graphics. Very good, yeah. Right? That was a great post. But it applies to all areas of life. It applies to all areas of life, right? So for me, that was such a wake-up call in that area where I realized I'd been, like, on the prowl. Now, but everyone stay calm. I wasn't out there hitting the bars of the Gold Coast. I wasn't actually, like, on the prowl. But in my mind, you know, and in my energy, to the point where I would say for a good half of last year, I was walking into church like just on the D-lo, right? Or whenever I would go, like, went to Glow one time, I was like, let's have us a little look around here. Yeah. So I wasn't like actively, I wasn't actually going any different place in order to hope to meet someone. I wasn't doing that. I didn't take it that far personally. If you did listen to this Bible study on replay, but whenever I would go somewhere because I was going there anyhow, then I would look around and then I would kind of be like, okay, well, I got to keep my eyes open, right? Like, that's smart, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think we do that in multiple areas. I know that's just one example that I'm using, and it's a good example because when I finally repented, surrendered, let go completely, and I actually said, I'm done. Like, I'm done this search. This even like somewhat looking to the left or the right search, you know, it wasn't like an active search, but it was the energy of it and the focus and the idea that it was in some way up to me, you know. And I'm sure we've all heard that expression that's very common that says, if it is to be, it's up to me. Well, I think if you've said that kind of expression or you've even nodded your head at it, you actually need to come out of agreement with that in Jesus' name and break that agreement and say, I repent for, and you can do this right now, like, I repent for ever saying it's up to me. Like, right now, let's just pray on that real quick. Lord, we just come out of agreement in the name of Jesus with ever saying it's up to me, with ever saying the buck stops with me, with ever saying it's on me, with ever saying anything along the lines of this, if this area of my life is going to change, I've got to figure it out. I know I have to work harder, or I know I need to put more time in, or I know I need to be smarter, or I know I need to do anything at all that we've got an idea in our minds is somehow going to net us an outcome. And Lord, we just repent. We ask for your forgiveness for that, like looking to our own strength or abilities, that self-sufficiency. We just break it in the name of Jesus. And we say, if it's to be, it's because we're looking at you. And when we look to you, in you, we see whatever it is that should come to life. And one of the other notes that I wrote down is, when you rest in me, you will be free. And Lord, we just say all of that in the name of Jesus. So we just completely turn away from the idea that if it's to be, it's up to me, or anything along those lines. We renounce it and we just ask you to give us a fresh vision for how you want to move in our lives in these different areas. and to just give us that increased guidance and discernment by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so stop looking for an answer. The answer is me. So this search that you might be doing right now in an area of your life, I want you to think about, where am I searching? And you can write that down as a journal prompt, maybe for later, or maybe something comes to mind already. But where am I searching? And I want you to really think about the fact that I'm not really talking about like actually doing things to search. You may or may not be doing that. But if you're not, don't be like, I'm good. Can I have a gold star? This one doesn't apply to me. Because I'm talking about the mental, like the continual running of the mind, the continual looking, you know, I got to make sure I don't miss something. Because yes, I trust God and I believe the Bible and I believe, you know, that it applies to me as well. But I got to like stay on my, you know, game here. Otherwise, I'm maybe going to miss out. But the Bible doesn't say stay on your game and keep focused in every different direction in case you miss it. It says keep our eyes fixed on Him. And a word that God's given me again and again and again all throughout last year that just applies continually, so I'm sure I'm going to keep hearing it, is when you look to me and as you continue walking forward in me, like living that believer life of walking on water and not looking to the left or the right, in me you will find it. And I've heard that specific to various different things. You'll find that thing that you're looking for in me. That is the literal location of it. The literal supernatural location in the spirit realm is in God. That's where you'll find it. And so I want to come back to this point where I was saying sometimes we go like on a detective's quest in the Bible, right? Okay. And, you know, I mentioned Psalms 119:18, great scripture. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things. Jeremiah 33:3, Lord, I'm calling out to you. Like, call out to me and I'll show you great and mighty things. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. All these different scriptures that are very powerful prayers. But I just want to draw your attention to the fact that when we use the word through the filter of our own mind and our own emotions and our own so-called circumstances or problems, then it can turn into that we're trying to use scriptures like that inadvertently, or any different scripture, obviously, as a way to like somehow press a magic button on a wall that you didn't know was there, and then the bookcase opens and there's a secret room because you got the right button, you know? Like, okay, like, come on, tell me the thing, God, tell me the thing, tell me the thing, tell me the thing. And actually what he seeks is that we believe he is who he says he is, that we believe that Jesus came and died for our sins and rose again for our sins, and that we simply live a life of walking on water where we know that our purpose is to glorify God, and we're worshiping him, praising him, and we're simply looking to him. Not so that he can tell us where the magic button is, but because he is God and we just know and trust and we understand that all things that we need here on earth are given in him, and we will find them in him. And just like I was saying, how I go, like when I go for a nap and I lay down on the couch for a nap, I have an expectation and a belief that I do hear from God when I wake up from a nap. That to me is a logical and also kind of a fun, cool expectation and belief. And it works every time, quote unquote, works every time. But it's not an act of work. I'm not like, okay, let me, you know, position several Bibles around me when I have my nap and lay down just so and do some kind of a ritual to make sure I hear from God. It's a really childlike expectation. It's just a faith-like thing. And I suppose it's probably something that God gave me as a desire in my heart, and that's where I got the idea in the first place. Yeah. You know, so it's not if I do that, then I will get this. It's not I'm doing this so that. It's, oh, I really need a nap today. Okay, well, when I nap, I expect to hear from God, and then I do. And that's how faith works, because when we look at this and we take the best, you know, most amazing scriptures that we or anyone can find or bring to our attention, and then we go, okay, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You know, open my eyes so that I may see wondrous things. Okay, where are they? Let me see them. I need them because I need a solution right now, God. That's carnal, isn't it? It's just straight up, straight through our flesh. It's our mind. It's our will. It's us thinking that we need something, as opposed to the same verse just spoken back to God through the spirit that he's given us and through his spirit in us is a surrender, and it's a praise, and it's an expectation of God being God, and it's a knowing that our needs are completely met. You know, if God's going to impart something to us or reveal a different lens or perspective on something in his word that we've already read, that's amazing, and it's beautiful, and it's cool, and it's also, well, of course, though. And it's not so that you now, you know, access the magic button on the wall and now you got into the secret room and now, you know, you elevated yourself to level 5 of holy. It's not that, right? And I just think this is a conversation that we need to have again and again and again, because we are human. We're not perfected until we're in heaven. And so when Hebrews 4, which was our key chapter, if anyone's just joining, speaks about entering into his rest, well, we don't completely enter into God's rest until we leave this earth, but we are meant to be living a life of rest. And in verse 2, it says right there that it needs to be, the word of God needs to be mixed with faith. And if it's not mixed with faith, it doesn't work, because it's not meant to be read and applied through carnal eyes, through the natural, through your own human without God. It's meant to be illuminated through the Holy Spirit, and it's something that's imparted and given to you, and it's also understood and discerned in the spirit and then applied through the mind, through the emotions, etc. And so it's kind of like, oh, in him, when I look to him, when I don't look to the left, to the right, when I live that believer life of walking on water, in him I find me, in him I find the things that set me free, in him I'm going to come across at some point the things that I was like looking desperately for, or trying to find, like, come on, God, like, you know, where is it? Is it in like some obscure book like Amos that people don't read very often? Is that where the magical solution is? You know, that's not how it works. Yeah. And I just default to that again and again and again. And God, by his grace and mercy, just continues to be who he is. And you get those reminders. But how do you get them? If we come back to this question of what's it going to take? What is it going to take for you to walk fully over that line of actual trust and surrender in an area where you haven't been trusting God? You've been, I trust God. Yes, I believe in trusting God. But God, tell me exactly how do you trust you? Where's the instructions? And I'll do that. Yeah. I think that one way we walk over that line is literally being on our knees. I mean, I don't mean necessarily like physically, literally, but sure, yes, why not? But I mean, stop. Just stop. Stop it. Put the thing down. And honestly, sometimes it's even put the Bible down, because you're going through it like you're on a mission to find, you know, the one little piece of the thing that's going to unlock everything. And just, God, I'm going to stop looking, because you said stop looking for the answer. You are the answer. And I know from what I do know in your word that the location of the things that I'm seeking and that I want and that I need, that the location of those things is in you. And we know in Matthew 6 that you hear our prayers before we even ask them. And so I'm just going to stop, and I'm going to put everything down. My thoughts, my reading, my seeking, my searching, my acknowledgement that I'm looking to the left or the right, here, there and everywhere, and I'm looking in so many places that it's a wonder I'm not turning in circles and getting dizzy. And I'm just going to stop. And I don't mean stop and be like, okay, tell me. I'm ready. Show me. Right? I mean, like, right? Evidence me. That's why I had to put myself to sleep like a naughty baby. This is the only solution. Go to sleep. I was like, somebody's got to stop this crazy thing. Put her to bed. And I was like, okay, when I wake up, God will speak to me, because I believe that he will. And then that's what happens. Literally, it's so simple, right? He says to us, come to me like little children. I put her to bed like a baby. She'll stop. So I've got a question here. Can you make the Bible an idol? That's such an interesting question. I feel like I don't really know how to answer that. But, I mean, I think yes, of course. Yes, you could do that if you're looking through your own mind. And people cherry pick scripture all the time from the Bible to suit their own purposes. But I don't think you're exactly asking that, though. But they do that. But more so if it's kind of like sort of what I was saying before, right? Where we're not actually seeking God. We're not asking God to reveal or impart to us. We're not looking through the Spirit. You know, was there scripture in Romans, like, as many are the sons of God, so too are led by the Spirit of God? Does anyone know the exact? It's in Romans. It's definitely in Romans. But the children of God, as many are the sons and daughters of God, so too are led by the Spirit of God. We're led by the Spirit. So if we're reading the Bible through our own will, our own mind, our own emotions, and we're essentially like looking for an answer and looking in the natural, and we're doing that on repeat, like as kind of like Romans 8:14, thank you, then we're doing that on repeat, kind of like, okay, well, that's where I go and get my intellectual information, then yes, I would say that what we're doing is we're making our own intellect the idol, or our own kind of like what we're seeking in our own mind, emotions, etc., and we're using the Bible as a tool to support the fact that we're depending upon our own intellectual understanding of theology, for example, or our own emotional response to either finding something or looking for something. I just feel to phrase it more that way, that it's more like, okay, my idea of my own intellect or my own understanding or my own, you know, so-called discernment that comes in the natural is the idol, and I'm using this to try and support that, something like that. It's definitely an interesting conversation. So let me just check here. Is there anything? Okay, so I wrote down these different, you know, a few different little notes that I've mentioned. And for me, the core one was open my eyes. Stop looking for an answer. The answer is me. And then getting to that point where we realize I actually don't want anything other than what God has for me. Like, I'm so done. Either because I am tired and I've beat my head against that wall enough times, or because he has actually given me the intellect and common sense, which is part of who I am, to realize that I'm on a futile quest here trying to figure it out myself. And that's the reason. But I think these kinds of conversations also come along so that we don't have to wait till we get to that point. And we just recognize, well, this is how it works. This is what the Word of God says. It says to trust him. Another thing I wrote down in my notes for today was just believe. What if you just believed that God is who he says he is? And what if you just decided to believe that that applies to you? For me personally, that was honestly one of the most simple, powerful words that I received last year. And it was on a podcast, like one of the Bevere sons, not John Bevere, but one of his sons. It was one of his sons on a podcast, and I think the topic was just believe or something like that. Anyway, but it felt so startling to me at that time, because there was just this recognition that I was trying to like understand, okay, let me compute this and understand that. And man, I'm going to need like 18 computer screens here just to keep up with all the different thoughts. And then all of a sudden I heard, just believe God. And I was like, oh, huh, interesting. I like it. Oh, yeah. And just like let all of that searching go. All of the searching for, am I doing enough? What's my part? I noticed I was asking God, like, okay, well, I do trust you and I do believe, but what's my part? Like, exactly what I should do for that trust to be enacted. Just believe. And sometimes something so simple is enough for you to go, oh, yeah, okay. And just put everything down and just believe. However, I will say that that is unlikely to work if there is still a part of you that is committed to, in agreement with, or in some cases straight up married to, the idea that there might be another solution though, or there might be a quicker path, or that it might in some way be up to you to make sure you see it and don't miss it. I mean, we've all here, I can't say with as much certainty, but many people here for sure, have known God to move in our lives in ways that are unmistakably God. There's no, this is not a conversation that is needed, right? So we do know what it's like when God moves. We also know what it's like when we hear from God. And if you're newer to your journey with God, or you're at that entry point of beginning a relationship with God, maybe you don't know this yet. And so be willing to just believe. And also know that when you come to God and you give your life to him and you receive salvation, then you are a child of God. And the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. So as soon as you become a child of God, which is through salvation, which is through believing in and accepting Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, you immediately do know God's voice. And so you need to start to declare these things over yourself and be willing to, like childlike faith, just believe. Okay, it's not based on I got to get to level whatever that she's at or they're at or whoever's at. It's instantaneous. All spiritual blessings are received as soon as you accept God. As soon as you accept Christ as your Savior. So we know what it's like, and you will soon know what it's like if that's the path that you're going to choose to walk. And we need to sometimes pull ourselves up and go, stop it. Stop saying I'm not sure. Stop saying I don't know whether God is saying that or I'm saying that. Stop saying I'm confused, because Proverbs 18:21 says life or death is in the power of the tongue. And so when you start to say that sort of stuff, you're speaking uncertainty, you're speaking doubt, you're speaking chaos. Where does chaos come from? Not from God, from the devil. That's where it comes from. And so we need to pull ourselves up. And in my example, I put myself to bed for a nap like a baby because it was the only way in that moment, or just felt like the correct way to stop my mind, and then came out of that into conversation. Other times it's just start praying. And I'll do that frequently when I'm driving or any time throughout the day, sometimes here in between different things, because I'm starting to get a bit too, like, you know, trying to figure things out or think, and just stop it. And if we're going to run all these thoughts in our mind, which we do as humans, a lot of the time without noticing it, like chaos and confusion and uncertainty and doubt, and I don't know whether God is saying that, and what if, and what if he's expecting me to be looking for the thing? Then what we can do is come back to that initial word that God gave me, which I just said once, and then I went into the whole scripture, which was declaration. Because he said to me, what I heard him saying, what I felt him saying to me was declare/declaration. And then I heard, my word cuts through like a sword. My word will cut through your problems, your concerns, your worries, your doubts like a sword. And then I went and looked up the scripture and came into all of this. But actually the first thing was declare. And so when I put that together with Hebrews 4, which I was led to read, and the ensuing scriptures, then what that seems like to me is declare that you have faith. Declare that you do believe. Declare that you have the mind of Christ. Declare that you have certainty. And these are very simple, but also simple to forget, daily practices that I believe and that God's shown me as Christians we really should have. And as faith-led humans living on this earth, it should be a daily thing to be speaking over yourself who and what God says you are and what it is that he has for you and what you should expect. So if your mind is continually confused or foggy or overwhelmed and you're not declaring God's word over yourself, then, I mean, what's happening? You may have salvation, but you're certainly not experiencing, you know, his will here on earth as it is in heaven, because that's not his will for your life. It's just not. So it needs to be, no, thank you. I'm not going to go into a whole spiral of, oh, let's start calling all our besties and whichever professionals that we, you know, would look to in our lives, like, oh, I think I need a solution. I need help. What do you think? What do you think? Maybe I should book a session here, a session there. That's idolatry. That's definitely idolatry. Not that there's anything wrong with, you know, professionals or doctors or friends, obviously, or anyone. But the first port of call should be God. And the first port of call should be speaking his word. And the first port of call should be the fact that our prayers should be his voice and our breath should be his breath. And it gets to be. So it's, okay, I say that I have faith in this area. I say that I am done. I say that I trust you, Lord. I say that I give this area completely to you again, perhaps, as the case may be. And it's no longer my concern. I say that it's now yours. You're going to take care of it. And I thank you and I praise you that you do. And whatever else you need to add there. Because I know for me, it's a daily thing. I declare that I'm a daughter of God. I declare that I know my Father's voice. Mm-hmm. I declare that my Father has a plan for me and it's a good plan. I declare I have great energy today, great focus. I have a sound mind. The mind of Christ is a sound mind. Jesus Christ did not have a chaotic mind. So why should I, if I have the mind of Christ? It doesn't even make any sense. Right? So this is not just for Sundays, and it's not just for Bible study, and it's not just for, you know, those moments where you're going like looking for a scripture to support, you know, the allayance of your fear. It's for speaking and breathing over yourself in every move you make. And I will admit that I sometimes feel like I don't want it. Like, why do I have to fight this fight again today? I can't be bothered. And it's actually quite ridiculous because I might spend 20 minutes like moaning in my head or to some poor person in my life about the fact that, oh, do you really think I should have to whatever? And it's like, you could have prayed for like 20 seconds and dealt with that. And we're meant to be picking up the word of God daily and put on the mind of Christ daily. It's not like one time good to go, because that version of Christianity, again, is not heaven enacted on earth. That is not God's will for how you're meant to live. All right, let me just see if there's anything else I wanted to add here. Okay, there was one other thing I wanted to bring in. When you speak the word of God over your circumstances, things change. Okay, this is what this comes down to. As humans, we get so scared either because we think we need an immediate solution or a change that day, and we think, but it's a literal, real, physical circumstance. It has to be today. Something has to happen today. I can't afford to wait for God. I can't afford to trust God. Or because maybe we just feel like we've been waiting for so long in a particular area, or because we're listening to the lies of the enemy that we should feel ashamed or, you know, condemned about our past in whatever area. Or because for a lot of us quiet driven folks who have, you know, a really like switched on mind and so on, then a lot of the time it is because we're thinking, well, I got to bring something to the table here. Like, I don't want God to think I'm a lazy daughter, you know, so what should I be doing? Tell me what to do. And so sometimes it's that getting caught up in our own idea of our own capabilities and so on. And of course, the abilities that we've been given by God are gifts, and they're gifts to be used. So we're not diminishing our abilities, our natural characteristics. If you're a very intense kind of go-go person like me, like most people I know who are like close to me in my life, either online or in person, then it doesn't mean you need to tame yourself down and be a different person. But it's about the fact that all of that is meant to rest in God. And so where you want to pull up, and this is going to be kind of like where I'm going to close all of this, where you want to pull up is basically the moment you know that your filter is not God, your filter is you or your fear. Your filter is your fear or your doubt or your anxiety. And maybe you're doing a pretty decent job of convincing yourself that you need to consider all these different pathways and possibilities, and that you do have these skills and these abilities, and so therefore you should use them, and surely God expects you to. And it's not that he's going to have you like sit on your butt and do nothing, although sometimes for sure. It's that the filter should be God. Put your God filter back on. Stop. And if you're like me and you get yourself really like up high in, you know, in the clouds, but not in a heavenly way, high in your own stuff, then sometimes you need to completely stop in order to just get grounded, get centered, get quiet with God and with his spirit again, and wait until it just kind of dissipates, however that might be. And that is through prayer. It is through reading the word, but not frantically looking for an answer, but instead, God, just speak into me what you would have me see or hear here, you know. And sometimes it is through having an app or some other sort of a thing that allows you to just let it go. And it's also, of course, through these kinds of conversations, journaling, being in the secret garden, of course, which is truly amazing, you name it, that sort of a thing. So it is a bit of a practice and it's a discipline, but even with that bit, don't lean on your own strengths to be disciplined, to turn to God. Ask him to equip you. Lord, help me to see what you would have me put my hands on. Help me to see where you would have me let me go. Give me that, you know, supernatural empowering and equipping to be disciplined, to turn to you first. And so when he has us use our capabilities, like our characteristics, our strengths and so on, it's through him. That's the thing. He's the engine. He's the fuel. He's the creator of all of it. He's the one who gave us those gifts and abilities, and they're powered through him. It's kind of like you can sort of charge your phone with a cheap, you know, charger that you bought on the street, but you're going to blow that phone up at some point during that, and it's not necessarily going to work. So we convince ourselves that we can power ourselves in our own strength, and we convince ourselves that sometimes we have to, but we actually do know that we need the correct power source behind everything that we're doing. Otherwise, we're getting an extremely limited and, you know, counterfeit and dangerous version of power, and potentially it's going to blow the whole situation up. So when we speak the word of God over our circumstances, things change. This is not maybe things change. This is not things change based on how long you've been a Christian or based on how many minutes a day you pray or anything like that at all. It is literally when you speak the word of God over you, things change. That is fact. It is finite. It is unchangeable. And it applies to you as well. So we're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you that you do give good gifts. We thank you that you have given each of us the characteristics, the personality traits, and also by your spirit, the supernatural gifts that we do have. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us all of these things in order that as we rest in you, they can be utilized here on earth in ways that glorify you and according to your will. So Lord, we just surrender afresh today. We repent and say sorry for trying to take all of these different gifts that you've given us and abilities that you've given us and do things in our own strength. And Lord, we just say that we trust you. And you can just pray right now for yourself. God, I trust you in the area of. So you can say like in the area of my finances, in the area of my relationship, in the area of my household, my children, my health, whatever it might be. Lord, I choose to trust you fully. I say your will, way, and thoughts are higher than mine. And I no longer want any part of anything that I can come up with myself. And I come out of agreement for the idea that it's up to me or that I need to make sure I'm alert in order to not miss the thing that I should be doing. I say that when I look to you, I find what is meant to be found in me. When I look to you and I don't look to the left or the right and I simply keep my gaze fixed on you, then you show me, you demonstrate, you make it clear. And there's a knowing, and I just say that I know your voice, that I know what you would have me do, and that I am led rightly in you. And I say that when I keep my eyes fixed on you, I can't miss it. I think this is a really important one. We have this idea which comes from the enemy, not from God. You're gonna miss it. You're gonna miss what's for you. I say that when I keep my eyes fixed on you, I can't miss what's for me. And Lord, I just give you all of the thanks and all the praise and all the glory for that. And I pray all of that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm just going to finish, which I have started doing at the end. If you don't know God personally, if you don't have a relationship with God and you would like to, firstly, you can message me anything that you would like to ask or know about that, because sometimes it's a longer conversation that you might want to have, or you may have questions. I might have a reel I already made that I can point you to, or I'm happy to just have a chat in my DMs anyway. But if you would like to be in a relationship with God and know him as your heavenly Father, which is certainly his desire for you and what he is waiting on for you and will continue to patiently wait on for you, then the way to do that is through his son Jesus. And so we have a relationship with God, not as is commonly the case in the online world, not through throwing the word God around in place of or interchangeably with universe or source or something like that, not through deciding that we now included God in our vernacular, our blogs or our plans, and so now we're in a relationship with God, but through understanding how he says that we have relationship with God. So if you want to know someone, then you need to know what they say about who they are, don't you? That's true with anyone in life. And it's certainly true with God. And what he says is that we have a relationship with him through accepting his son, Jesus. And so it comes down to two simple things, which is firstly, that you believe that Jesus was the son of God. Sorry, is the son of God, but was here in earthly sense as the son of God. So you believe that Jesus is the son of God, that he did come to this earth in the form of a man, that he died and then he rose again and ascended back to heaven in godly form. And that the reason that he came here was to die and then rise again for your sins. And so this is about admitting I can't do this life by myself and I don't want to. I admit that I'm a sinner. I do believe that Jesus came to this earth, that he died and rose again. I believe he did so for my sins and that I want to accept him as my Lord and Savior. And so when we believe in our heart that Jesus died and rose again for us, and then we declare, say with our mouth, that we believe in him and that we want him to be our Lord and Savior, then we become a child of God. And that's just the most amazing thing that can possibly happen in life. And there's a journey that obviously follows after that,
which is also one reason why I continue to do these Bible studies and put them live, because it's a lifelong thing to learn what that relationship with God is. But if you would like to enter into relationship with God now, you can do that by saying this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to be in a relationship with you. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die and rise again. And I believe that he did that for my sins. Lord, I don't want to do this life my way, and I know that I can't. I am a sinner, and I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and to receive forgiveness and receive my place in your heavenly kingdom as your child. Please come into my heart today, Lord. Thank you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I do just say that however it comes out each time. It's not about perfect wording. If you want to watch a little video that I've previously made about it, there's one that's pinned at the top of the Instagram. Otherwise, yes, DM questions, post me your comments if you watched the study on replay. Have a beautiful rest of the day or evening. And don't forget, life is now. Press play.
Yes, there was another incredible, fiery episode of the Faith, Fire and Flow podcast show. It is my honor and absolute delight and just a blessing to get to bring this to you. I trust that you enjoyed this episode. As always, if you would like more of the spirit-led downloads and just the straight up wake up, shake up in your faith that you need in your business, money and life, then go to thekatrinarucho.com/podcast. Free gift. See what I made you. And I'm going to pass it over to my team now just to read out a few of our incredible reviews. I so appreciate your reviews, your encouragement, your comments, and just your feedback on this show. And I love to share that with you. Have an amazing rest of the day or evening, wherever you are in the world, and keep pressing play.